Right now, the primary elections for the midterms are underway, and it matters because even a few Republican victories will tip the balance of power in Congress. And as Joe himself has said, if that happens, the only thing I have left is a veto pen. The electoral map stacked against the Democrats. And yes, Chloe and Canyon will explain this is largely the Democrats' own doing because they've ceded an enormous amount of power in rural America. In 2018, again in 2020, Democrat candidate Chloe Maxman and campaign manager Canyon Woodward won grassroots campaigns in conservative rural districts. Chloe became the youngest woman in the main House of Reps and then the youngest female senator in the history of Maine. And the two have written a new book called Dirt Road Revival, How to Rebuild Rural Politics and Why Our Future Depends on It. And it's effectively a roadmap for the Democrats to reconnect with rural America. Chloe and Canyon, welcome to the program. And I'd like to start by learning a little bit about yourselves and how you came to work together. Chloe, you grew up on a family farm.
Yes, I did. Thank you so much for having us on this morning. I grew up in a small town here in Maine of about 1,600 folks on my family's farm, and I truly love my community, and I also love the Democratic Party, and I've seen how sometimes the Democrats don't resonate with where I come from. And so what we've done with our work is really try and build that bridge a little stronger.
Now, your family didn't talk a lot about politics, did they? But they did talk about values.
Yes, it was such a hallmark of my community growing up is we talked about who you are as a person. If you show up when folks are at need, if you're kind and if you're good, and I didn't really realize how special that was until I left home and went to college in the city, and I realized that politics was more of a defining feature of how people talked. And both are very valid. I grew such a deep appreciation for how my community lives in the world.
Now, Canyon, you were raised in the Appalachian Mountains of North Carolina and the North Cascades of Washington, but apparently you were raised with similar values to Chloe.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of similar values that are shared across small town communities, valuing independence and hard work, but also a sense of interdependence and being able to count on one another when times are difficult, like Chloe alluded to.
Now, you met at Harvard, I understand, Canyon.
We did. Chloe started the fossil fuel divestment campaign at Harvard, which eventually succeeded in getting Harvard to pull its $40 billion endowment out of fossil fuel companies. And so that was how we met, was organizing around climate issues.
I wish the two of you would come to Australia. We're having an election where you'd be invaluable. So, okay. After college, most of your peers would have gone to work on Wall Street or in Silicon Valley, but you both chose to go home. Why, Chloe?
I think there's just something in me that knew I wanted to go home. I packed up all my stuff into my dad's truck the day I graduated from Harvard and drove straight back to my hometown. It's just, it's my home. It's just where I've always wanted to be.
Same for you, Canyon?
Yeah, I didn't imagine myself going home growing up there, but after spending years away, felt the pullback pretty strongly through the college years.
I understand that once you got stuck into campaigning, neither of you had ever ridden a public bus.
It's true. We Canyon and I met during our first year at Harvard, and I think so much of our friendship is based on our shared rural backgrounds, and we were in charge of creating a replica of a big pipeline for a protest on campus, and We had to go find some gravel. So we took the public bus, but neither of us had ever ridden a public bus before, and we didn't know we had to click the button to stop and get off. So we just went whizzing right past our stop, and we're very confused about what to do.
Now, before we talk about your own campaigns, Chloe, why have the Democrats lost so much ground in rural America?
It's such a good question, and it's a long, complicated question. About a decade ago here in the US, there was no partisan preference amongst rural voters. People would vote for Democrats and Republicans, and today there's a 16% advantage for Republicans in rural America, and we're really seeing how powerful that vote is, not only at the national level but also at the state level. And the Democrats have just a lack of infrastructure and movement building in rural places that makes it really hard to maintain the relationships and the authenticity that we need in rural communities. There are so many Democrats in office in rural places, and there are so many folks doing amazing work in rural America. And I think it's just a larger conversation about what does the Democratic Party look like, and how do we make sure it's really inclusive?
Now, Cameron, I remember gasping with shock when we saw Donald Trump win, well, around two-thirds of the rural vote. But you point out that it really started during Obama's presidency. Why?
Yeah, that's a good question, and it's complicated. I think one reason is rural America has fallen behind by almost every measure of economic growth in the comeback since the 2008 Great Recession. And so, at some level, they saw Democrats in power over that time with Obama being the president, and felt themselves falling behind cities and other populous places in the recovery. So I think that's a big part of it.
And of course, Hillary Clinton tended to talk down. I recall her vivid description of Trump supporters as a basket of deplorables. That probably didn't help, Canyon.
And I think, conservative news media, Fox News and right-wing radio in the US just, take small moments like that and amplify them like crazy. And when Democrats aren't there in the community having face-to-face conversations and maintaining relationships of trust, it's really difficult to fight back at those narratives.
I'm talking to Chloe Maxman and Canyon Woodward now. Let's turn to your own campaigns. In 2018, you managed to win in a district that had never been represented by a Democrat. A couple of years later, you knocked off a powerful Republican senator in the most rural part of the country. Chloe, how did you do it?
There is so much to our campaigns. So many people who made it happen. And Canyon and I had both worked on campaigns before, and what we did was really we kind of threw out the playbook and created our own riff on what campaigns can look like. It was really centered around a lot of face-to-face conversations with folks who we haven't talked to before as Democrats. It was just the simple act of listening and respecting what we hear, and being able to build a relationship through politics that had enough trust in it to agree to disagree and to find that common ground and to talk for half an hour at a kitchen table and understand each other. It's something that we always think about in campaigning, but it really was the center of everything that we did.
And you did that nice old-fashioned tradition of knocking on a lot of doors. Now, you found by listening and talking to people what their concerns really were.
Yes, and not it was what people were concerned about, but also how people think about the world. And Republicans and Democrats, we think about issues in really different ways, and that's okay. But I think sometimes we really get hung up on those differences and we can't see past it to find that space where we agree on a lot. You know, I say so much that I never met a single Republican who wants expensive healthcare. We have different ways of accessing what we want and different pathways, but it doesn't mean that we can't respect each other and work together. I think, you know, that's an art that's being lost.
Kenyon, anything you'd like to add to what Chloe said?
Yeah, I mean, that's all exactly right. And I think in our digital age, especially when you're stuck on your Facebook feed or you're listening to, you know, to conservative radio or liberal radio, maybe you tend to just get a picture of the other side that is pretty extreme as compared to actually meeting those folks face to face and finding all of this shared humanity.
Chloe, in Australia, there's a huge divide between rural and urban areas when it comes to climate change. Did you find a different way to have conversations about this issue and perhaps to move or inch towards consensus?
I did. It was so interesting. In both the elections, especially in 2018, I can't remember having long conversations about climate change or people even saying those words. But, you know, we live in a rural place and there's a lot of farms here, and all the farmers are talking about how there's not enough rain in the summers, and everyone wants to be able to go ice fishing in the winters, and we want good jobs and sustainable industries in rural areas. And all of that to me is how, you know, I think about and talk about climate impacts in my hometown, and also the opportunities that we have with this energy transition to create a better economy. So I've really, you know, it's the same issue, just a different way of talking about it. And I think being able to have that common ground and get folks elected who can speak that language and work on those issues is going to get us a lot farther.
Kenyon, one of the exciting things you did was commit to a 100% positive campaign. No mudslinging, no negative messaging. Do you feel that resonated?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, especially in 2020 when we had the presidential that we did, and we also had a really competitive U.S. Senate campaign with Susan Collins here in Maine, and there was just a constant flow of negativity and attacks, and people were sick of it. And we were really committed to, from the outset, running a campaign that would leave our community better off than we found it, and not saying a bad word. And people really noticed that. We heard a lot of feedback from voters that they noticed that, and that was important to them.
Well, you've written a roadmap. Will it work in other parts of rural America? I'll put that to you first, Chloe.
There's certainly so many parts of Maine that are unique to Maine, and what works here is not going to be right for other parts of rural America or rural parts of Australia. And, you know, we've known that since the beginning, but what we've tried to do with our experience working on campaigns in other spaces and other states and with our own campaigns is really to extract some lessons that can be applied to other campaigns. Maybe not all of them, but definitely some of them. And, you know, wherever you are, you know your community the best. And I think there's a pervasive problem where rural folks are just not getting the investment that they deserve. And so we're just trying to put some tools out there to help get that moving forward.
Since you've been elected, Chloe, how have you tried to stay true to the values you promoted and the pledges you made?
I try my absolute best to be as responsive as I can be to my constituents, and just always being available to hear their thoughts on a vote or on a bill, to help them with whatever challenges they're facing. I've hosted coffee with Chloe almost every single month since I got elected in 2018, just being available in the community and through the door knocking and through those touches with my constituents, I think I retain a fairly good sense of where people are at.
I think almost everyone listening to the program would like to have a coffee with Chloe. Thank you very much for both coming on. Yeah. Chloe Maxman hails from rural Maine and currently serves as the Maine State Senator for District 13. Canyon Woodward is a political strategist and was the campaign manager for Chloe's successful 2018 and 2020 campaigns. Their book, Dirt Road Revival, How to Rebuild Rural Politics and Why Our Future Depends on It, published by Beacon Press.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations, live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.